ending energy poverty, which is how I really think about our challenge here. It's not about electrons, it's not about climate, it's not about any of those things. Really, it's about unleashing opportunity in a just and fair way.
Not just discourse, but clear action, clear commitments being made. Now let's roll up our sleeves and apply them.
The Latin American region is at 98%. But it's clear that the approach and the investments that got you to 98 are not going to get you to 100.
Transition of clean energy will only be possible if we all work towards a common goal. The goal of ensuring everyone everywhere can live a dignified life on a healthy planet powered by sustainable energy. I'm Elizabeth Wangeshi Shege, an energy efficiency and cooling officer based in Kenya with Sustainable Energy for All.
And I'm Anant Vatwa, energy data officer working at SE for All.
Welcome to the Let's Talk About Energy podcast at the SE for All Forum in Barbados. We have Isabel Betran, Vice President Latin America at Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet. Welcome. And we have Caroline Ibumbu, CEO of All On. So you've been at the forum, you know, since we started off. Could you tell us how you feel about it, what you got out of it as well, and what you expect to see at the end of the forum? We can start with yourself.
I think this is a fantastic opportunity, platform for coordination and reconnecting with partners. I think it's especially interesting has been bringing sort of the Africa and the Asia reality and work to Latin America and the Caribbean. And so I've really appreciated the opportunity to have these cross conversations about Mission 300 and African goals and the Caribbean realities of energy resilience and climate change. So I think it has been an amazing combination of actors.
Oh, fantastic. A great opportunity to bring Caroline to tell us what has been your experience so far.
It's interesting because it's quite similar. One thing that I will definitely speak about is the amazing energy and exchange that those 2 days have really witnessed. It's been great to get to talk about the Nigerian experience, specifically the fund that I had is in Nigeria. And so we've had sessions where people were coming up to us and saying, oh, we love the Olon's case study in Nigeria. And, you know, we want to learn about what you've done. And that led to conversation about it is that they do in their own respective countries. So this cross-pollination, this exchange, it's at the heart of what it is that we're doing. I think if you remember Prime Minister Mike Motley's opening statement, she spoke about, you know, it's through partnership that we're going to unlock the scale. Well, this platform over the last 2 days definitely was the opportunity to create those partnerships if they don't already exist, and for those that are already in existence to extend them to even a greater length. So it's fantastic. Been an amazing, invigorating, energizing 2 days.
Oh, fantastic. I've been using the word energizing quite a bit during this podcast, and I'm glad you validated it because it is quite energizing. Could you tell us a little bit more about All On as an organization and how its work links to SDG 7?
Happy to. The work that we do is at the heart of SDG 7. All On is Nigeria's number one impact funder in the renewable energy off-grid space. And our mission is very simple. Connect people who do not have access to energy. What we call the unserved, but also the underserved. Because you may have people that are technically connected to the grid,
right,
but really, de facto, they do not get proper electricity. So at All On, we make sure that both of those categories, the unserved and the underserved, have access to energy. We do this with very innovative fundings. We have both debt, we have equity, but we also obviously have grants. It's a sector, as we know, that still requires grants. We provide so. And we also have innovative programs that we've put in place to ensure that we find ways to bring the cost down, because ultimately energy access, the issue still is about cost of electricity. So we have a team of dedicated people who have been thinking about all the best solutions you can possibly put forward. And I'm happy to say that over the last 8 years, we have grown to now have the biggest portfolio of off-grid energy stakeholder in Nigeria. And therefore, energy access is what we do. SDG 7 is all about energy access. We
fantastic.
Had a
fantastic. Oh, thank you very much for putting it that way. As well as noting about what All On does, it'd be really good to hear about GIAP. I know we partner a lot on a lot of programs, but it would be also good to hear about the work that's been done in Latin America. So please, Isabel, tell us about GIAP in Latin America.
GIAP is the Global Energy Alliance. We work with several partners. One of them, of course, proudly supporting and partnering with SE for All, but also All On, at the heart of SDG 7 and SDG 13, right? So the two principles are getting to universal access and ending energy poverty. It's a need. It's an economic right. It's a right. But also doing this with renewable energy is also contributing to climate change goals.
Yes.
So how we can link both of them. And we work in partnerships with many organizations. Of course, both of you being one of them. In terms of Latin America, we are focusing on last mile access. Fairly, you know, if you compare to other regions, the Latin American region is at 98%. But it's clear that the approach and the investments that got you to 98 are not going to get you to 100.
Right.
A different approach is needed, which is based on radical collaboration, on partnerships, on leveraging all the lessons from Asia, from Africa, from, you know, even developed countries on how to address the last mile. What's the role of the communities? How do you go from only, I was talking in a panel before, from powering to empowering.
Right.
To really, you know, not about just energy as a service, but like, how do you make sure that that energy is used productively, is actually developing climate change? And we're also working very closely with Barbados, our Prime Minister, and Minister Cummins in their battery energy storage. There's a huge need in the Caribbean for battery energy storage, not
yes.
only for climate, for energy resilience, but also resilience to climate change and lower the dependency on fossil fuels, but also it allows more renewables in the grid. So we've been working with them in the first procurement of battery energy storage systems. I think the procurement is going to go out in a month. The minister is really excited about it. It's the first one done in the Caribbean. It will be an example, and we're proud to support their efforts.
Great. So, Caroline, it would be really good to know what would be your expectations coming out of the forum?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we started with that, the partnerships. As I said, for new partnerships, for those that do not exist, and for those that are already in existence, increase the partnerships. As we're talking about partners, I cannot be sitting near my good friend here, Isabel, and not mention indeed what a good partner GIAP is.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, you know, Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet, if there's one thing GIAP has tried to do, is to really put some emphasis about this alliance and try to work with different stakeholders, whether it's in Latin America, with what Isabel is leading there, whether it's in Africa, where GIAP is a partner with Olam. We've really felt that there's this clear, intentional reach to the different stakeholders, and
right.
that's what we need in the sector. So coming out of this forum, there's a lot of exciting things happening. You may have followed the launch of this DRE fund that's going to be providing equity to developers on the African continent, starting with Nigeria. Well, for us at Olam, that's what we've been doing, as I said, equity debt, grant different instruments, but equity being one that's critically needed. And we've often said we need more equity for those developers. So having had the opportunity of participating at this forum where there was the launch of this massive DRE fund, very happy to see how it's going to evolve and what
right.
it's going to lead. It's
yes.
totally welcome. Obviously, as I said as well, partnerships on M300. We've seen the launch of M300 at Africa Energy Summit in Tanzania about 7 weeks ago.
Yes.
And it was good to see the continuation. There's some continuity, you know, to see that some of the claims that were made in Africa Energy Summit in Tanzania, from that we now see some clear action steps. What are the next steps? So, again, one thing that I look forward to after this summit is to see how we're actually going to put those now in existence and continuing the partnership that will really help us getting to that scale so that we really move from the discourse to action. And I believe that this platform was a clear show of that. Not just discourse, but clear action, clear commitments being made. Now let's roll up our sleeves and apply them.
Fantastic, fantastic. And Isabel, please do tell us what the expectations would be building upon what Carolina said.
I mean, I agree with what Caroline is saying. I also feel like we all share a sense of urgency and a sense of making every dollar count. And
yes.
a sense of, like, you know, we have less funding in the sector, less funding for development. So how we can all really need to work together and be leveraging each other's work. You know, a lot of the conversations have really been about partnerships.
Right.
Having this space really helps, you know, solidify and start these partnerships. For us, it also marks a road to COP, right? One of the big milestones for everyone, but
yes.
especially for me in the region, is the road to COP 30. And so how we can get some results around a Caribbean-wide proposal for battery energy storage, how we get some results towards last mile access in
yes.
the Amazon region.
Yeah.
And so it really has served connecting with Africa. This is now in the Caribbean. I'm sure there's going to be other forums. That these are major moments that they force you to like to think about this. You know, what are the next steps? For us, we have very tangible steps with partners. We have done amazing new connections. And I think it's really an important thing to mention, the closer connection that we see now with African goals, especially around the energy, around Mission 300.
Right.
I think we've brought the two regions closer together, and there's
yes.
a lot to be shared.
Fantastic. Yes, it has been a great experience. And it's not over yet. One of the things we have is global listeners, and some of them are youth. Actually, we have a large youth following on the podcast. It would be really good to get some energizing, empowering messages to the youth, including perhaps like a parting shot to bring the youth on board. So we'll start with Caroline.
Okay. And please allow me to. The first one, parting thought is, Damilola, thank you so much, you and your team, for putting this platform together, bringing us together, indeed, several continents, several countries. It was great, and we look forward to keep working with you. Now, specifically answering your question
to
the youth. However cliche it sounds, yes, the youth, the future is yours.
Right.
Literally is. You have at your disposal so many tools. I mean, us, we're still trying to catch up with AI. You know, we're still trying to catch up with all of those new things. But you get it, you know.
Yes.
So you have technology and innovation that is right at your fingertips. So many things that could go on and go on. But since it's just a parting thought, let me just say that do not hesitate to step into the energy sector from whatever angle
yes.
it is. Be it youth interested in the policy aspect, your voice counts. Be it on the technology innovation, your ideas count. Be it on the business side, you can start creating your business. You can have the solutions at your level that will end up being global solutions.
Sure.
There are several ways to get into the sector. Come in, there are initiatives. Reach out to us, and we'll be happy to see how we can even support whatever project there is. There are many initiatives. Look them up, reach out. The time is yours.
Fantastic. Isabel, a message
hard to top
you.
That up. But, you know, I think this has been fantastic. I agree. This has been fantastically put together. Logistics, content, everything. Congratulations. I'm sure it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
A main thing that I've been hearing and I'm talking about is everyone can be agent of change.
Mm.
This energy work is not just technological
yes.
energy. This is a multi-sector problem. You have communities, you have productive uses, you have finance.
Mm-hmm.
You have the technology itself, you have operation and business models, you have operations and maintenance models. So, like, don't be intimidated, and
right.
everyone can be an agent of change. Like, a lot of things happen because one stubborn person somewhere decided to change.
To carry on, yes.
You can be that person, you have the energy, you know, the youth, and you have our generation to support them. So,
thank you. And this is the first all-women podcast conversation we've had at the forum. So it's fantastic. So well done to us.
Yes.
And it's very, very energizing, as we've said.
Great.
I promised you a surprise question, so I really have to do that. Mm-hmm. Caroline, if we start with you.
Yes.
What is a sustainable thing you've done yourself? We've talked about global, regionally. But how about Caroline herself? What is something you've done recently that's sustainable that you can share with us?
You want to know Caroline? Well, Caroline has this love for mentoring. And
great.
I'm happy that I finally started back again in 2025. 2024, I had no time.
Right.
Lots happening on the work front side. But was able to, in 2025, start again a mentorship project.
Fantastic.
And we are just talking about the youth. I think that's where it starts, you know. You cannot have all these great ideas and experience and not share it. Because, again, talking about sustainable long-term impact, well, there needs to be transmission. Transmission is key. So I'm super happy about that, actually.
Sharing. Fantastic.
Yes, we said yesterday, right?
We must
sharing.
Share.
We must share.
Sharing
yeah,
is caring. Isabel?
You know, I have been starting to apply at home all the things that, you know, like you talk about. So, like, you know, we're starting the process of putting solar panels in our house and understanding how that works and change into a hybrid car, like being just more mindful. Like, we take it for granted to have energy. I'm from Ecuador. We recently
right.
had a crisis where there was lots, you know, cuts every day of multiple hours. Sometimes we just waste it because we know we
yes,
have it. And
yes.
so I've been really trying to be more mindful of that.
This is nice.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for joining me on the Let's Talk About Energy podcast. Caroline from Olon and Isabel from GIUP. Have a very energizing rest of the forum.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So welcome back, everybody. We are here with our next guest, a powerful person, I must say, Mr. Ashwin Dayal, who is a Senior Vice President for Power at the Rockefeller Foundation. Welcome to Barbados. Welcome to the forum.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you feeling? How's been the forum so far for you?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, it's you know, been a day and a half or a day and a bit, but it's just been a fabulous opportunity to reconnect with so many people. So yeah, really enjoying it.
And how is Barbados?
Yes. Well, you know, it's sort of fun to look at the beach from inside a conference, but it's a beautiful country. It's my first time here, so it's been really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Starting off with a little personal note, what is something sustainable that you did or you're doing, you know, some small action that you did not too far ago, you know, in the last day, week, couple of months to go towards a more sustainable life?
I don't know if it's a small action or if it fits, but, probably the biggest thing I've done in the last few years was just decide to not have a car.
That's a big thing. That's a big step.
And despite my quite liking driving, I'm fortunate to live in a place where you can get by with public transport, which is obviously so important. But that was something that was a pretty big change for me and the family. We just rely 100% on public transport.
That is great. That's amazing. Yeah. We didn't expect that. That's left me speechless.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's going to be difficult to top that, to be honest. All right, changing gears. I mean, you're not driving, but let's still change gears.
Yeah, yeah.
You are at the forum. You saw some amazing sessions. What is it that you really liked? And what would you expect to see the outcome? You know, like one key thing that you would like to say, this is something that we, not we as Rockefeller Foundation, not you as a person, but we as collective are doing in the right step.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's hard to top Prime Minister Motley's speech yesterday. I thought that was phenomenal because it sort of really laid out from a global right down to local level what we have to deal with if we're going to succeed in delivering energy and actually ending energy poverty, which is how I really think about our challenge here. It's not about electrons. It's not about climate. It's not about any of those things. Really, it's about unleashing opportunity in a just and fair way. And I just found her remarks very inspiring in that regard. So that was a really nice way of setting the scene for why we're actually here. Yeah. And how do we make sure that a gathering of people sparks new collaborations and new partnerships and a new sense of urgency?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Mia Motley is quite difficult. Once she speaks, it's quite difficult to speak after
her.
Yeah,
I know. I would hate to be the person coming on after her, right?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. Definitely.
So you are from India.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Rockefeller Foundation has a long history of working there. Would you like to share with us some of the work that you've been doing there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very long history. It's over a century, actually,
oh, wow,
of work. And, you know, for a long time, our focus in India had been on strengthening public health and then working on the agricultural sector and the whole Green Revolution,
yes,
in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. We actually started our energy work in India,
oh, wow,
in about 2010. So it's been close to 15 years. And that's sort of really the third chapter, because we see this as really the defining development need of the next 15 or 20 years. And so, you know, all of the work that the foundation supports through the Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet in partnership with SE for All, it kind of, you can trace the DNA back to work that started on mini grids and leveraging some of the opportunity that came with the new prices of solar prices coming down,
yes,
new business models, and small companies that were starting to develop really creative and innovative models to electrify and supply reliable, affordable power to rural communities in India. Companies like OMC and Husk Power, some of whom are now operating in Africa.
Yeah. Yes.
So the work really started there. Obviously, the context in India has evolved dramatically in the last decade or so in terms of electrification. But at the end of the day, the need to unleash clean power in a way that uplifts people, creates economic opportunity, is still a big focus of what we do in India. And that work has sort of inspired, in different ways, what we are doing in other countries in Asia, in several parts of Africa, and also in Latin America and the Caribbean.
All right. Yeah, I think, as you said, so there's a need to have partnerships. So your partnerships with Global Alliance, Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet, SE for All, the Rockefeller Foundation. And obviously, we are not the only ones. So
yeah,
there's always partnerships with one or the other agency, organization in different countries. There's a growing discussion, you know, everywhere right now. We need not just the public and private partnerships. We need the private, public, and philanthropic partnerships.
Yeah.
So how do you view that?
You know, I think in some ways we've always had that, but we haven't really named it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that we're in a moment where the coming together of public sector, private sector with philanthropy in a very intentional way, in a more structured way,
yeah,
is something quite new. Probably the best example of it that you see, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, is in Mission 300, the goal to electrify 300 million people in Africa by 2030. And why does it matter? Where does philanthropy fit into all of this? Because obviously we're not spending tens of billions of dollars. But I think there's sort of three critical ingredients that's helping bring us together around a common goal. I mean, what's great about Mission 300 is the goal is very clear, right? You can count it, you can see it, you can tell if it if it's beginning getting done or not. It's not fuzzy in that sense, and that's a great starting point. One is just a sense of urgency and acceleration, right? I think what philanthropy and partnerships like GIAP and working with SE for All can do is kind of be a little bit of that grease to get things moving more quickly. If you look at Mission 300, you know, there are already about 130 projects that could potentially reach close to 300 million people, but they're not going to achieve that by 2030. So how can we come in with more nimble, targeted, smaller scale financing, but that kind of moves things more quickly? Mm-hmm. To give you one example, when we started collaborating with the World Bank and with SE for All and others on Mission 300, one of the first things they said was, hey, we've got like a whole bunch of technical assistance work that just needs to move more quickly to get the projects going. Can you help? So we created a TA facility, put in some money, supported about 25 projects. And these were projects that were being requested by the World Bank or the African Development Bank, but they were being sort of vetted in a task force that involves Sustainable Energy for All and GIAP and Rockefeller Foundation to quickly look at them. And then we took on the sort of contracting process for that, so we could move more quickly. Not as quickly as I would have liked, but yes, more quickly than would have otherwise been the case.
True.
Because if you think about Mission 300, it's a race against time.
Yes,
definitely. It's not just about it's not just about quantity, it's about speed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Urgency is the key. So the first thing is that urgency and speed, and I think philanthropy can be really helpful there. The second is on risk, and that's the more conventional assumption. Philanthropy comes in and does the junior tranche and all of that, and that's true. And it continues to be necessary. When Mission 300 was announced, one of the first things the World Bank Group said was, we want to create, you know, an equity vehicle for distributed renewable electrification developers, DRE developers. But they always need a first loss or a junior tranche. And so we were able to quite quickly come in with a relatively small amount, making a relatively small commitment of a few million dollars. But that gave the IFC and the sort of group around them the ability to go to other partners and get in and build up that junior tranche. And so to a point where they, you know, they're getting close to being able to launch the first big tranche of the overall facility. So that risk-taking continues to be important. The third is the one that I think is probably in some ways the most important, and that is helping build the sort of flying formation. How do you get all these different actors to actually collaborate around that common goal? And I think this is where philanthropy, with its sort of convening role, with its network of partnerships, can be quite helpful in small dollar ways, but in big ways in terms of actually crafting these partnerships.
Yes.
It takes a lot to get organizations like the World Bank and AFDB and SE for All and GIAP and RF and others all working together. And then the broader alliance of partners that are part of the Global Energy Alliance, for example, how do we get them involved in Mission 300? So that kind of flying formation, urgency, and risk-taking, I think kind of it boils down to that. And that's why I think the PPP partnership now is becoming more sort of central to all of our thinking.
That's wonderfully said. We're talking about 5 years, less than 5 years actually, to reach the 2030 SDG 7 targets.
Yeah.
You've been in this sector for long. You've seen things happen. You've seen the change happen for good or for bad, depending on how we see, because the needle has moved, but it has moved really slowly.
Yeah.
We have less than 5 years. What is the biggest challenge that you see that might prevent us from reaching that target? We do want to reach the target. We have M300, which is, you know, specifically aligned to that target. What is the biggest challenge that you feel might hinder us?
Frankly, the loss of momentum. You know, we are where we are. We've got 5 years to go. We can't go backwards. We just have to keep moving forward. And I think the thing that can prevent us right now from getting to or close to the goals is thinking, oh, we're sort of so far behind that, you know, we kind of take our foot off the gas.
Right?
That to me becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy then, right?
Yes.
So I think really it's pretty straightforward. We just have to stay focused. We have to do everything we can to unlock the financing that's needed to finance the SDGs. We have to do what we can to maintain and sustain the political will. We have to keep that flying formation together and actually moving in the same direction. And of course, you know, my focus is very much on SDG 7.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, I presume the same holds true
for all of us.
And, you know, we may not achieve all of the SDGs, and that is not good, because this is about people's lives and their livelihoods and how they live with dignity and justice and fairness. But we're not going to fail for want of trying. I mean, we just can't allow that.
Thank you for that.
Those are some really nice words.
Yeah,
and we got to try and we got to keep going.
It's inspiring as well, because one thing that's been coming out of the conversations as well is the human right to energy access. And I like that you mentioned morality. There's elements of respect coming out in the conversations. A lot of our listeners are from the globe and they're young, they're youthful. What are the words of encouragement you would direct to them?
I think the most exciting thing is that this energy revolution is really now irreversible. And what we need is many more opportunities for young people to take part in that revolution, whether they're an entrepreneur, whether they're a researcher, whether they're a journalist, whatever walk of life in, is to just understand, A, that this is the heart of development for the next 20 years. If we want to lift hundreds of millions of people up, create opportunity, expand jobs and livelihoods, it is about achieving universal energy access and achieving 100% electrification that's going to achieve that. And then the second is that this can be done increasingly on a basis of clean, sustainable power, not because of a climate goal, but because it actually makes business sense.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going into rural Nigeria or rural Malawi and you're trying to set up, electrify a small community, it is actually often the best option. It's cheaper than diesel. The grid's not going to come there.
Yes, yeah.
But these developers, these young entrepreneurs, they need support. They need a lot of technical support. They need financing support, because these are tough businesses to run. It's in difficult markets. If it was a slam dunk commercially,
everyone would do it.
Yeah.
So I would just say the opportunity out there is huge. And really, this is the area that anyone who's thinking about what they want to do for the next 20 years, this is where you should be focusing your talents.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for those words. And thank you for being with us at Let's Talk About Energy podcast here in wonderful Barbados. And
I
wish you an energized rest of the day. Energizing or energized rest of the day.
All right.
Thank you so much for being with us.
This is good to talk. All right. Thank you.
Fantastic day we had with all those conversations. What do you think, Anand?
It was a great day. We had amazing speakers. We had some fun talking to them. And I hope the listeners had fun listening to them.
So please join us for the next episode of Let's Talk About Energy. And please follow us wherever you get podcasts. See you next time.